and
Aardvark.
Hey Oddballs, I'm your host Jensen, and welcome to episode 93. We are almost finished with all of the Chinese zodiac. We literally have two more to go, and you're going to learn about one today. So let's go ahead and jump on into it.
Zodiac.
I'm into that.
Today's Chinese zodiac lesson is the dog. Dog is men's good friend, who can understand the human spirit and obey its master, whether he is wealthy or not. Chinese people regard it as an auspicious animal. If a dog happens to come to your house, it symbolizes the coming of fortune. In Chinese legend, the invincible god Erling has a loyal dog partner to help him capture monsters. You are a dog if you were born in 2030, 2018, 2006, 1994, 1982, 1970, 1958, 1946, 1934, and 1922. And if you want to figure out anything past 2030, you add 12 and just keep adding 12. And anything prior to 1922, you minus 12 and just keep minusing 12. All right, well, I hope you guys learned something about the Chinese zodiac, the dog, and we're going to go ahead and move on to stories because we've got some wild ones today.
This comes from Arduino on Reddit.
My only paranormal experiences happened around 2007 to 2009. I would have been around 8 or 9 years old. These experiences happened at my cousin's house at the time. To keep their identity anonymous, I'll call them Jim and Ellie. Jim is 2 years younger, and Ellie is the same age as me. For context, I would often go over to their house for playdates and sleepovers. My uncle was usually never home because he was constantly working. My aunt was usually in the kitchen or caring for my newborn cousin. They don't live there anymore and moved out around 6 years ago. I am sharing this now as an adult, after reflecting on my experiences with my cousins. I will also be sharing some of their experiences as well. Also, when I say there, I'm referring to Jim and Ellie. I can confidently say that every time I went over to their house, I felt a weird sensation of anxiety. It was an unspoken rule between my cousins and I that we move around the house in pairs. The house felt heavy and like someone was always watching us. Their house had 3 floors. The upstairs, which consisted of 3 bedrooms. The main level, which had the front porch, living room, dining room, kitchen, and back porch. And the basement, which consisted of an open layout as a laundry room. The only spaces that felt safe were the front porch and living room, and that's where we would play often. Now, this pair system would only be done at their house. The times where I would have to go around the house by myself, it felt like someone was behind me or following me. I remember always rushing around and I hated going to the bathroom. The bathroom on the main floor was under the stairs. It was very small and like the Harry Potter closet, but slightly bigger. It gave me major creeps. The first event that made me feel eerie about their home happened during a sleepover. It was the next morning, and we were all eating breakfast in the kitchen. This Saturday, my uncle was not working. I remember feeling excited because that meant my cousins and I would be doing something fun. My aunt didn't drive, so we often just stayed at their house. Anyway, it was a normal morning, and we were all eating when we heard the loudest bang upstairs. I remember it shook the ceiling above us. We all just stopped eating and stared at each other. I was so scared because I knew no one was up there except my baby cousin, and he was months old. My uncle immediately went up to make sure he was okay. Luckily, He came back and said he was sound asleep. He also said everything upstairs looked fine. Nothing fell, and everything looked exactly like it did earlier. We still don't know what it was. Now, the experience that validated my constant feeling that there might be spirits happened during a family party. It was my uncle's birthday, sometime in August or September. It was a relatively big party with maybe 50 plus people. They had a big backyard. All the adults were outside under those white party tents, and most of the kids were huddled up on the couch in the living room watching movies because it was raining that day. The living room was next to the stairs going upstairs. I was sitting facing the stairs and remember Jim leaving because she wanted to play in the rain with some of the other kids. Some time had passed and Jim came back inside. She announced that she was going upstairs for socks because hers were wet. I saw her go up and back down to go back outside. Some more time passed and my aunt came inside asking where Jim was. Ellie responded saying she was upstairs. I didn't think of it because I was focused on the movie and honestly didn't care to correct her. So my aunt called Jim from the bottom of the stairs. Well, actually, she screamed her name, and we, as in all the kids in the living room, heard Jim's voice respond in Spanish. Ahi voy. That translates to, I'm coming. It took me a couple seconds to realize, wait, I saw Jim go outside. That's when I told my aunt. So she went upstairs and just came down laughing nervously. She was like, she's not there. My aunt told Ellie to go get Jim from outside. Maybe 2 minutes later, Ellie came back with Jim. And my aunt started questioning Jim where she was. Jim came back hella annoyed because her big sis interrupted her fun. Thinking back at it now, I feel like my aunt stayed in the living room with us to validate what she just experienced. I remember her asking us, you all heard Jim, right? Why Ellie was outside to get Jim. She was stunned, to say the least. The rest of us were too. Jim and Ellie have a lot more scary stories at their old house than I do, but I'll just share one. This specific experience they had was a big deal because I remember right after it happened, a priest went to bless their home. It was a whole weekend ordeal. Family and friends visited their home to pray for hours. At the time, my cousins didn't tell me what happened because it was so traumatic for them. I heard it from my grandma, who was telling my mom. I'm telling the story now, but my cousins told it to me as adults. At the time, they both had their own rooms, but never slept alone. They always slept in Jim's room together. They both were scared of being in Ellie's room because they experienced something touching their hair once. Sharing a room was never an issue because of how scared they were at night. They shared with me that they always had that eerie feeling like someone was watching them at night. It often was difficult for them to fall asleep easily because of the paranormal activity they would experience. This specific night, their mom had just tucked them in bed. As they were trying to sleep, they both heard a woman's voice humming between them. They say they remember the voice right next to their ear. Immediately, they both got up and ran off crying to their parents' bedroom. After this moment, they could only sleep in their parents' bedroom. My uncle had to buy a king-size bed because they refused to sleep in their room. After maybe a year, they began to sleep again in their room. The blessing of the house seemed to help settle everyone's nerves. My theory is that whatever the spirit was, it didn't like men. I was at their house a lot, and the only times I would experience things was when my uncle was present. My aunt has shared with me as well that her most scary experiences are when there were men in the house. Obviously, as kids, we can't really contextualize this and are fearful of this feeling we can't explain. Looking back now, my cousins and I agree that this spirit didn't have any malicious intent towards us. Thanks for anyone who read my long and detailed rant of my paranormal experiences. I haven't experienced anything paranormal ever since, thankfully. So it's wild because this is like your classic haunting, right? But also like the ghost is sexist. Because if it's only happening when men are around, and clearly it's a woman if they heard a woman's hum, which, okay, then why are you scaring the kids then? I mean, maybe the spirit is trying to get through to the men in the house by going through everybody else. Maybe the men who were in the house and the father of the home also, maybe they just didn't really believe in the paranormal. So in order to get them, I don't know, does that make sense? Like to get them to believe in it, it happened to everybody else. They had to have experiences in order for him to be like, okay, that's it. Does that make any sense? I don't know. Now I feel like I'm just ranting. But anyhow, I do like this. It's very scary. It's very scary for the person and people that it happened to. In my world, reading this, it's pretty cool. I really enjoyed it. And I want to know what you guys think. So let me know, and we're going to move on to the next story.
This comes from KFallsB on Reddit.
I live in the Klamath Mountains in eastern Oregon, about 20 miles from the California border. Growing up, I spent a lot of time outside, camping, hunting, fishing, etc. A few months ago, I had a strange experience on a family trip to our cabin near Crater Lake and wanted to see if anyone could help me maybe find more info on what I saw. I was by myself birdwatching at a small pond in the woods, maybe half a mile from the cabin in the late afternoon. I was sitting on a big log with binoculars. I wasn't in a blind or anything, but I picked up a spot where I thought I'd be less visible to any animals. After about an hour, I hadn't seen much, except for a few common ducks, and it didn't seem like many animals were very active. So I was thinking about leaving. This was about an hour before sunset. Then I saw something move in the trees across the pond, probably a few hundred feet away. It was just a flash between trees, and I didn't really get any kind of good look at it. But I kept watching the spot, and after about maybe 5 minutes, saw something dart from one tree to the other. It was bigger than most any local bird, except maybe a heron, and moved very fast, without making any noise. This happened again a few minutes later, and then again a few minutes after that. Each time it was moving closer and closer to the pond. I don't think it knew I was there, but it was staying incredibly well hidden and only revealed itself for a split second at a time. At this point, I'm thinking maybe it's a kit fox or a pine marten because of how fast and silently it moved, but I still hadn't got a good look at any part of it in detail. It moved behind trees a few more times, until it was behind a big dead tree right on the shore. I was staying as still and silent as possible, but still worried it would see me, or more likely smell me and spook. After a few more minutes, I saw something move to the edge of the water. A little arm and hand that looked just like a human's reached out and touched the mud. And then the head and the other arm came into view as it leaned out to drink from the water. I could only see the head, shoulders, and arms from where I was, but they looked so much like a person's, except it was too small and covered in what I took as grayish, brownish fur. The face wasn't exactly human, more monkey-like, but it was too far away to see much detail. I decided to try lifting my binoculars to get a closer look, but as soon as I moved, it looked up and then disappeared back into the tree again. I watched until it started getting dark, but I didn't see it again, not even darting behind the trees. I went back into the cabin and told my grandpa what I saw. He's been a rancher in this area his whole life. He said, "Sounds like you ran into a hide behind," and laughed, I said, no, Grandpa, seriously. This isn't a joke. He said he'd heard stories about Bigfoot and hide-behinds and several times saw little human footprints on hunting trips deep in the mountains where no children would be. I think he believed me, but didn't really know anything. I asked my dad and brothers, but they just started giving me shit about squatching. I went back to the pond the next day and walked around to where the creature had been, but I didn't find any tracks, scat, fur, or anything. I did figure it had to be probably about 3.5 or 4 feet tall, based on the trees I'd seen near it, but narrow enough to hide completely behind a ponderosa pine, which makes me think it must have been standing and moving upright. And that's it. I wish I'd seen more of it, but its face and hands were absolutely not like any local animal. It looked very much like a monkey or a furry little human. I've tried to find more info, but only cryptid people seriously talk about this area as Bigfoot. The hide behind seems like a joke. There may be little people or humanoids in some of the local Native Americans' folklore, but not a lot of detail I could find. I hope someone here has ideas what I might have seen. It was very unique and memorable experience, and any further information would be very much appreciated. Okay, that's wild, and this is probably one of the better Bigfoot experiences that I've heard in a while, only because like they always seem so dramatic and I don't know, just crazy. They're always hunting for Bigfoot. This person was literally just looking for birds and other wildlife and just hanging out by themselves and just happened to probably see a Bigfoot. And I think that's crazy. And if Bigfoot is how this person is explaining, as in they're moving almost very cautiously and very quickly, then it makes sense that no one would see Bigfoot and it'd be hard to find them because they're so quick and they hide quick. So I don't know. It's a really interesting Bigfoot story or hide behind. I've never heard of a hide behind before, but that's okay. Maybe someone can enlighten me. But anyhow, I want to know what your guys' thoughts are. And if you have any paranormal story, like either story today or any in paranormal story in general, let me know. And I hope you enjoy today's episode. And well, it's an odd world after all.
Oddballs, go follow us on It's an Odd World After All podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Also, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a story you would like to share, email us at itsanoddworldafterall@gmail.com or message us on one of our social platforms. Don't forget to share us with your family and friends. And check out our website, itsanoddworldafterall.com.